Police were called to a home in East Springfield to respond to a report of damaged property. When they arrived, they found that a 16-year-old girl who apparently lived at the house had grown angry at her mother for some reason, apparently over some sort of money matter, had reportedly broken a table, and then fled before police arrived at the scene. When police got there, there were two officers who arrived in two separate cars. Officer Rosario was the one who remained at the home to take information, while the other officer drove off to scout around the neighborhood to see if he could find the girl who had departed the scene. Almost immediately upon Officer Rosario beginning to question folks who were present about what had happened, a 19-year-old gentleman who was present said that there are at least two charges here that were at play, and that if the girl wasn't charged with at least two criminal charges, he was going to have both of the officers' badges. This caused apparently some consternation to Officer Rosario, who began questioning the gentleman. Did you go to police officer school? How do you know about this? I just got here. Why are you addressing me in such a rude and abrasive tone? Over the course of the next 10 minutes or so, the situation, verbal situation, escalates to a pretty severe degree, I would say. And so Officer Rosario at some point challenges the gentleman, invites him to, if you want to put up hands, i.e. if you want to have a fight with me, I'm all in for it. At one point, the officer even says, so I'll put away my gun. I'll put away, you know, my mace. We'll just handle this mano a mano. I think that the officer eggs the gentleman on, I think it's fair to say.
Right. But, and just to be clear, too, this goes on for a long time. It seems like a long time watching it. And there's expletives just flying back and forth, of course.
Absolutely. I mean, this is not for, well, let's put it this way. If you can, yes, there's quite a bit of blue language, let's put it that way. Lots of N words, lots of F words, lots of MF words, lots of words you can't even hear, but you can kind of imagine what words are being employed here. And the gentleman's mother is standing on the porch, and she at one point, she acknowledges that her son, it's her son that is having this exchange with the officer. She allows that, yeah, every time you folks come out here, he's always with these badge numbers. At one point, she calls her son, quote, the mouth of the South, unquote. And so the son doesn't back down. And at one point, the officer pushes the gentleman. The officer does, in fact, initiate the first contact. He pushes the gentleman. What I find astounding, the 19-year-old says, is your camera on? You know, as if in disbelief that this would actually be being recorded. And in fact, it is being recorded. And twice he says, is your camera on? And the officer says, yeah, it is. Look, here it is, you know. And so the officer pushes the gentleman, I think, probably about 5-7 minutes into this. And then the fight actually begins after 10 minutes or so after the officers arrive.
And so I've seen the video. What ends up happening is Officer Rosario is beating, punching, pummeling the gentleman. And the second police officer at certain points is trying to make an arrest. However, Officer Rosario is telling him not to arrest the subject. He's saying, you know, we're just going to fight, do this like men, kind of like what you said is the vibe of it. What happens after they're done with their fighting, which really seems very one-sided, mostly with Rosario just doing the beating?
He lets the gentleman up, and the gentleman goes to the other side of the yard. He says words to the effect that it wasn't a fair fight. His attention was distracted by the second officer. He wants to start fighting again. He goes out to the middle of the street, says words to the effect, I think, of, it's not over, come on, let's go again. And Rosario says, no, we're not going to go again. It's all over. We're done. This is finished. And this is contained in a very loud, well, contained is probably the wrong word. Officer Rosario is addressing the gentleman in a very loud voice. And it seems pretty apparent that this isn't addressed just to the 19-year-old gentleman. It's addressed to the whole neighborhood. I mean, these are words that are very loud. The insults that Officer Rosario is directing toward this gentleman are loud enough to be heard from some distance away. It's impossible to know exactly how many people have seen this transpire, but from the second officer's video cam, at least four people have come out on the sidewalks to see what's going on. And so it's apparent that, at least to me, that Officer Rosario is, not only just trying to get the better of this gentleman in a physical altercation sense, he's also appears to be trying to embarrass the gentleman in front of his neighbors. And so physical altercation comes to a conclusion. And what's somewhat astonishing about this is all the while this is going on, Officer Rosario is on the one hand engaged in this first verbal confrontation, then physical altercation with this gentleman, while also trying to gather basic, information from the mother about her daughter and the broken table. So it goes somewhat like, you MF-er, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and now, man, where do you think she might have gone? If we had this sorts of problems before, can you tell me? And then, hey, MF-er, da-da, I'm going to beat your, and then... Now, again, ma'am, what I would advise you to do, and it's almost like a tennis match.
And so Officer Rosario has been put on unpaid leave, right? And remind us of the charges against him.
He's been charged now, I think, with two counts of misdemeanor battery, one count of felony official misconduct.
And so this video has been shared widely across the internet here in Springfield and beyond. And so in this era, a relatively new era of using body cams, how was it exactly that this ended up being brought to light?
Well, this came to light because the second officer reported it apparently at the end of the shift. And let's be clear here, I don't think that the second officer had any choice but to report this, and solely, I think, because of the body cam. Because if there hadn't been any body cam here, it would likely as not be a he said, she said between police and the civilians here. The body cam presented irrefutable evidence. And so the officers are in a position of they know this has been recorded. Now, whether they reviewed the body cam footage before making this report, whether the second officer did, I don't know that. I do know that Springfield Police do review body cam footage prior to and in the course of making police reports to quote-unquote ensure accuracy. So whether these police officers reviewed the body cam footage before making their report, I don't know. It's a question I think probably worth asking. Whichever the case may be, it does appear that the officer may well have been in a box, which is, if I don't report this and someone comes forward and says this happened, there's proof that, in fact, did happen.
I'm speaking with Bruce Rushton. He's an investigative reporter for the Illinois Times based in Springfield. We're talking about a video that came out. It showed a Springfield Police Department officer beating a resident who he ended up not arresting, just beating up, basically. And that was captured by a body camera. Bruce really broke it down moment by moment. All that information is at IllinoisTimes.com. And so now, as Rushton mentioned, Rosario has been put on unpaid leave, and there are charges against him. Bruce, I want to change subjects now to a story that you reported on regarding a shooting death that happened earlier this year. Police were responding to an incident involving a mentally ill 27-year-old man. His name was Daniel Rogers, and as you reported on, before this incident, which did lead to his death, he had had quite a few run-ins with law enforcement. Tell us a little bit of that history, if you would.
Daniel Rogers had a history of mental illness that was well known to law enforcement in the area, both apparently to Springfield Police, but also to the Sangamon County Sheriff's Office. His first contact or the first inkling that he may have had some issues with violence and temper and perhaps mental illness came in 2013. He got into a fairly minor traffic accident. He rear-ended a gentleman in Springfield, I believe at Grand and MacArthur. And so when the police arrived to investigate the reported accident, they found Mr. Rogers and the other party to the accident. They had blood on their clothes. There apparently had been an altercation. an officer wrote in his report that he appeared to be on some sort of drug. He had a crazed sort of look in his eyes. And so they took him to a local hospital where he was administered some sort of a medication to calm him down. He was then taken to jail. He spent a number of months in custody. He was deemed, I believe, at some point in this particular case, mentally unfit to stand trial. And so he was taken to a state mental health center, Chester. And Chester, it's deemed maximum security. So they took him to Chester. He spent some amount of time at Chester, I believe several weeks, if not months. He was ultimately deemed fit to stand trial. He was returned to Sangamon County, and after nearly a year after the incident, the case was adjudicated. I believe he pled guilty to some sort of a misdemeanor and was freed.
And so your story in the Illinois Times, illinoistimes.com, talks more about Daniel Rogers and how he battled with bipolar disorder and had multiple run-ins with the law. You write, on December 14th, 2016, Rogers checked himself into Memorial Medical Center where a psychiatrist called police. The psychiatrist told an officer that Rogers had threatened to kill his father and an uncle with a hammer. Then on Christmas Eve, Rogers showed up at the Mosaic, the nursing home where his mother lives that is across Carpenter Street from the house where Rogers lived with his father. Rogers tried getting food from the staff and also attempted to kick a nurse, according to the police incident report. Police found him on his porch across the street, ordered him to stay away from the nursing home, and then left. All right, so that's in your story. And then there are multiple more incidents of him returning to the nursing home and police being called. On January 13th, Rogers was arrested again for domestic battery, apparently having beaten his father. Days later, though, he's released without charges. And then on January 23rd, there are more reports that he's near this nursing home harassing people, though some aides outside at the time claimed they didn't find him threatening. But police show up, and that ultimately leads to his death. It's another case where body cameras captured the incident. Tell us about what happened after police arrived.
Two units arrived, separate cars. They spend 4 minutes driving around looking for Rogers. At this point in time, can't find him. And so they depart. Within minutes, they get another call. He's back here again. And this time, Officer John Shea responds by himself. And he, in fact, sees Rogers sitting outside his home. And he pulls up, parks, and he says he's sitting outside his house. And one question I've had is, how do we, you know, I don't know the answer to it at all, but Shea says he's never had any interaction or experience with Rogers at all. So I don't know how he knew that it was Rogers' house. If he'd never had any interaction with Rogers, how he knew that that was his home, we don't know. Anyway, Shea pulls up, parks, he's on the radio with dispatch. He tells dispatch that Rogers has a tire iron and that he's waving it at the officer. Just as the officer's leaving his car, he reports that Rogers has thrown the tire iron at him. So he says, start me some more units. In other words, he's calling that his last words to dispatch as he leaves his car is send backup. So you've got these two guys approaching each other. And Rogers has his arms up somewhat, almost like the Incredible Hulk. You know, he's striding toward him with his chest out, his arms out. He's saying things that are indecipherable. You can kind of pick up on the body cam. Officer Shea's report, he says that Rogers is challenging him to a fight. You can hear Shea on the body cam say, no, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight with you. And he says, why are you throwing sticks? Why are you throwing expletive at me? The whole thing transpires in a very, very short amount of time. It takes 20 seconds from the time Shea gets out of his car until he's within 10 feet or so of Rogers. Officer Shea tells Rogers, get down here, put your arms behind your back. Obviously going to arrest him. And he asks, as he's taking out the cuffs, he asks Rogers, what's your deal? Do you just want to go to jail? You can hear Rogers in the video saying he wants to beat Officer Shea. Rogers turns, breaks his nose with a blow to Officer Shea's face, and the fight is on. In his report, Officer Shea says he really never gets much of a chance to struggle at all. He says that the best he can do is to get himself in such a position that Rogers is hitting the top of his head, and he's hoping that Rogers will break his hand and that might give him a chance to win the fight. That doesn't happen. He says he's concerned enough that he pulls out his taser. He draws his taser so that Rogers can see it. So Rogers puts his hands behind his back as ordered for arrest. Shea apparently figures everything's cool and puts his taser away and starts cuffing him. And that's when things kind of go sideways. Shea says, I'm going to the ground. My vision's going gray. And I know that that if I go to the ground and he gets the better of me, he's going to draw my weapon and kill me. And so Shea has an opportunity to draw his gun, and he fires 8 times. 3 of the shots hit Rogers in the front of his body. 5 hit him in the back, and he's pronounced dead shortly thereafter upon arrival at the hospital.
Bruce Rushton of the Illinois Times. There's much more to this story. You can find it at illinoistimes.com. And Bruce, before we let you go, we talked about the Rosario incident earlier. How has this new age of body cameras changed the way you report on police?
Well, you know, I'm not sure how much it's really changed the way I go about reporting things. It's another thing you look at. It's another piece of information that you can and do use to inform your story. Now, in the case of Officer Rosario, there's a school of thought out there that says, absent body cams, this case would never have existed. This sort of thing commonly happened. It was never reported because it was considered to be, in some officers and some people's minds, this is kind of part of the job. You can look in the case of Officer Rosario and have some sympathy for how tough it is for police officers in some situations. I mean, you know, nobody likes to be having you stand around and have to put up with folks calling them names and baiting them and other things that appeared to be happening in this. On the other hand, that is kind of part of the job.